The House Committee on Information Management and Technology is now in session, and we will serve as a subcommittee. For the record, Representative Witt is traveling to his father, who needs him badly, and Representative Burley is with another committee, and I believe they're in Bend. Representative Worth is, we think, in transit and on her way. I do have a few announcements, but I'll do those at the end of the committee meeting. We have Jody Pettit, and you're going to tell us about electronic health records and how we can save millions. That's what we're looking for, isn't it? Anyway.
Yes, it is, Mr. Chair, what we're looking for, and I'm not sure I like to laugh.
We also have a question.
Okay. And I believe Gretchen is also here, and you're going to talk to us about health policy and that sort of thing.
Well, I think what I'll do, for the record, my name's Gretchen Morley. I'm the director of the Health Policy Commission, and I just thought I'd give a couple-minute introduction to the commission and for Jody's presentation. I'm not sure how much experience you've had with the Health Policy Commission. It was created in the 2003 legislature to assist and advise the legislature and the governor on health policy planning and development in the state. Over the last year, the commission had spent a considerable amount of time looking at some of the large areas that you would classify some of the healthcare concerns into: access, cost, health status, and quality. Part of the quality, a lot of the quality issues revolve around transparency, availability of information, and electronic health records are one that fit, you know, is an issue that fits squarely into that list of concerns. I was actually not the director at the time, but my understanding of history around this group is that the Joint Interim Committee had made a request for a task force, the governor to appoint, or a task force to come in and do this, and the governor had referred it to the Health Policy Commission, thinking that it was in line with what the commission had been trying to do, and that that would be a good place and a good incubator for the subcommittee. So a subcommittee was formed, and Jody was the chair of that committee, and she could talk a little bit about the membership. And the Health Policy Commission has reviewed this report and supports the findings, and we're pleased to have Jody here to talk to you about it.
Thank you very much, Gretchen.
Thank you. I'll introduce myself. I'm Jody Pettit. I'm a practicing internist at Providence Portland Medical Center in Portland. I am also involved in the Oregon Healthcare Quality Corporation, currently as a volunteer, looking specifically at the building of Oregon health information infrastructure. I can tell you more about that later. I'm also involved up at OHSU as part-time faculty of their Department of Medical Informatics and Clinical Epidemiology. And I have had experience working in a medical software company, specifically one that makes electronic health records, but I have absolutely no financial ties to any particular organization or company. So I'll start out by telling you really what the goal of our subcommittee was, and that we're really ultimately looking at improving the quality, safety, and efficiency of healthcare. And specifically, we're looking at improving the flow of information, with information really of two types: patient information and also medical knowledge. More specifically, when a person sees a physician or other clinician, you want someone who knows you, and you want someone who knows medicine. In the old days, there was often a single, perhaps family physician who may have delivered you, may know your whole family, so knew your family history, knew your health through adolescence and through adulthood. And so continuity of care was maintained really within that person's head, someone that knew you. But our system has changed so much, and our lives have changed in that they're much more fragmented and we're a much more mobile society. And so now what we're trying to do is accomplish that same sort of continuity, that same information flow that was within one person, and now distribute that across people. And so the other point is that years ago, there was very little in terms of medical knowledge. There were perhaps two or three medications, sulfa, penicillin, etc. Now there are thousands of medications and an explosion of medical knowledge that no one human being can assimilate. And so we want to use technology to promote information continuity and to bring medical knowledge to the point of care. So our subcommittee is composed of 8 people. I was fortunate to chair this committee, and in alphabetical order we had Jill Arena from Greenfield Health System, who's their chief operating officer and has a lot of experience in healthcare management. Nancy Clark, who was at the time with the Department of Human Services and is now the executive director of the Oregon Healthcare Quality Corporation. We had Dr. William Hirsch, who's the head of medical informatics and clinical epidemiology at OHSU. We had Mark Levitt, who is the National Medical Director of the Healthcare Information Management System Society, and also the chair of a new commission nationally to accredit health information technology. We also had Dr. Dean Sittig, who's a professor in medical informatics at the Kaiser Center for Health Research. We had Dr. David Shute, who's the medical director of OMPRO, Oregon's Quality Improvement Organization, and we had Mike Wright, who's the CEO of Well Partner, a company involved in pharmaceutical management. We also had significant contribution from a Dr. David Dorr from OHSU, who helped write some of the background of the report. So our charge in the subcommittee was to make recommendations regarding the role of the state to help move this sort of effort forward. And our goals specifically are to make Oregonians' health information available to them and their healthcare provider anytime, anywhere that it's needed, and that also that Oregonians' health records are confidential and secure at all times. So I'm just going to go through the recommendations at a high level, and I would encourage you to ask me questions at any point. Our first recommendation is around standards. And it's pretty well recognized that the lack of standards in the healthcare arena is really one of the major sticking points. And we want to encourage and endorse the use of national standards, but we don't recommend that the state of Oregon try to develop our own standards, that we instead align ourselves with the national standards. Some criticism of that has been that it's been very slow going for these standards to be developed. But we felt in our committee this was we had a solid discussion in this area, that there is tremendous movement really in the past year or so, that we're encouraged that there will be some standards that will be operational in the next year. Our second recommendation is around coordinating regions, and we want to embrace a model where we work with many communities across the state, and we believe that there are sort of natural medical referral areas, probably about 10 in the state, and that we believe that we should coordinate with these regions as opposed to doing just a top-down, this is what the state's going to do sort of approach. And there's a terminology called health information organizations, and we think of these as LIOs, local health information organizations, to compose a larger statewide organization called a RIO, or regional health information organization. And this is some of the terminology being used nationally by the presidential advisor, Dr. David Brailer, who's the national coordinator for health information technology. Regarding financing, we see the financing primarily coming from the private sector for startup costs, and then ultimately hopefully building a financially sustainable model for this kind of data exchange, if you want to call it that. Regarding regulations and laws, we believe that the role of the state is to make sure that there aren't any laws that may be archaic or getting in the way of this sort of progress. Specifically, there are some laws requiring triplicate paper prescriptions and that sort of thing, and those maybe need to be updated for an electronic age. We also see the role of the state as a healthcare purchaser, and there's already been a lot of work done in this area through the PEB, through the Public Employees Benefits Board, and they've focused special attention on the use of health information technology, and I believe will help to move the market by example. Then the OMAP, as well, the state of Oregon, can participate similarly in that. By promoting the use of health information technology can help look at ways to save money and create more efficiency. With regard to monitoring and assurance, we believe that we should do a study, and we've in fact already started it sort of on a no budget but effective sort of way thus far, is to find out who's got electronic medical records in the state, which ones they're on, and where people are in their readiness to accept technology. Is it within 12 months, 24 months, or not in the foreseeable future? And we already have actually collected quite a bit of data here. And we see an inverse relationship for the number of providers and their readiness. In other words, the smaller clinics are not adopting as quickly just because of the lack of the financial incentive to do so. The larger clinics can more readily afford it because they can distribute the cost. Engaging the public and public expectations, we believe the state should coordinate with the private sector for communication campaigns. There are some already at a national level starting up, the GOT EHR campaign that's going on to try to promote public awareness of the importance of health information technology, specifically electronic health records. Public health research and outcomes reporting. We believe that the private sector should work together with public health. This is an area that will be, for years to come, very, very rich in terms of understanding of the diseases that occur in the outpatient setting. Right now, that's pretty much invisible to us. We have some inpatient data, but outpatient, I think this will vastly improve healthcare in our country. Education and training, we can coordinate with some of the health professions training institutions to encourage people to go into these areas, because it's going to take really an army of informaticians and healthcare IT people to make this happen. And currently there really is somewhat of a lack of that expertise. We also feel that the state should participate in demonstration or pilot projects, and that we can accelerate the adoption of EHRs and also data sharing across institutions. In terms of leadership and governance, we are recommending that a health information technology coordinator be appointed through the Office of Health Policy and Research and report to that director. This role is really analogous to the national role of the health information technology coordinator, and we've seen that office has actually had quite a bit of success in terms of spurring people on and helping to problem solve at maybe a higher level. And we don't think that the state should necessarily run it, but should play a leadership and a catalyst role. And I believe that concludes the set of recommendations, and I'd be delighted to entertain questions.
Dr. Pettit, the interim committee, there was discussion of savings available or savings to be made if we could move the Oregon health plan into a technological setting. Is there savings to be made in your mind?
Yes. I think our healthcare system as it exists now is terribly fragmented, and there's an enormous amount of redundancy, rework. In a typical clinician's day, there's a tremendous amount of collecting data that's already been collected at one point or another. I think the easy way to explain it is through an example. Undoubtedly, everyone here has had some experience with the healthcare system, and may have had the experience of repeating your history to a number of people on down the line. It's such that if you've had an appendectomy in 1972, that information is never going to change. And you shouldn't have to tell every person that you ever encounter in the healthcare system that you had your appendix out in 1972. It should be documented once and one time only. And this is why, you know, having a virtual record will obviate a lot of that. And clinicians will spend less time collecting information and more time treating the patient. Let me go back to your question a little better than that. But the place money can be saved is felt to be with this redundancy, that tests won't have to be repeated. People in healthcare will actually spend less sort of administrative time handling information if it's always available in one place. And right now there's a lot of medical records clerks, billing people, all different kinds of people need to access the chart or move information from one clinic to another or from one hospital to another. And that's a very cumbersome, inefficient process right now. And undoubtedly, because of that inefficiency, expensive.
The state with the Oregon Health Plan, are we in a better position to provide a model that might work? And then the question would be, we're all very concerned about the Oregon Health Plan. Either we want to expand the benefits or increase the number of lives that are insured. So there's a twofold question. I heard outlandish figures being, I heard large figures
yeah.
being used as to the savings that we could make just in the Oregon Health Plan. Did your committee look at what savings might be?
Yeah, I might tell you where those numbers have come from. There's a group out in Boston called the Center for Information Technology Leadership, and they did this study that came up with the $78 billion for the nation, and then I think the number that you heard was really just, you know, considering Oregon as 1% of that number. And what they really looked at was at a high level of integration, how much money they felt could be saved. And so they're talking about something called health information exchange. They're really talking about, in essence, sort of the end point, not the beginning point, but the end point. And we're quite a ways from that end point now. So I guess what I'm telling you is these savings would not be immediate.
I didn't want you to tell us that. I had opportunities to visit with other people, and the veterans have somewhat of a closed system, and they can do a lot of things that we can't do in the private sector. Does the Oregon Health Plan, by virtue of the fact that it's paid for by the state, offer, does the Veterans Plan offer us any kind of a model that might work for Oregon Health Plan recipients?
You know, the VA is really a shining example of health information technology, and you know, they've gone so far as to offer this My Healthy Vet, which is the beginning of a personal health record for veterans. So I think it is a good model. It's also public domain, the software, and there are people working on trying to adapt that for the community. So I guess my answer would be yes, it is a potential model.
If we delimited the population and concentrated on the Oregon Health Plan, I'm getting the sense from you that it could be updated, modernized. There is a model to use. Do you have any sense of how long it would take to put that kind of model in place?
Years, I would say several years.
And then what?
Up to a decade. I mean, I want to be realistic. I mean, there's what we can dream and what we hope that can be accomplished, but a fully integrated electronic health record for all Oregonians, or even just for people in the Oregon health plan. It's hard to segment out that population separately. There are efforts going on with the Oregon Community Health Information Network. OCHIN is concentrating on the safety net clinics, and they've already got a really good start at it. They've installed practice management systems in 13 of the safety net clinics around the state, but they're trying to work towards electronic health record deployment. So through them, I mean, it's possible that it could happen within the next 5 years or so.
Before I take all the questions, Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Pettit, have you taken a look at Senate Bill 541 by any chance?
I have.
Is this something that is sort of along the lines of what you're suggesting that the governor do under the state of Oregon action plan? In the recommendations that are in here?
We didn't specifically outline a task force in our recommendations, but we talked about a health information technology coordinator and an advisory body.
Right, right.
So I
was wondering if this was kind of along those lines of what, is this sort of in line with what you're suggesting, or is this, or are we off base here?
There's overlap with what we're suggesting, okay. I would say. It's not exactly what we had suggested, but it would certainly be a useful vehicle. I think, having people paying attention to this and, working on it would undoubtedly be helpful. We felt there might be more impact in a funded, staffed position. It's, speaking, personally, it's hard to keep going on it in an unpaid role for a long period of time.
Sure. Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Absolutely, follow-up.
One of the other action plan notes here under number two that really kind of, this is on, by the way, on page 17 of
this I've got document. It. Thank you.
Is to provide seed funding that would be matched by the private sector for a pilot project to demonstrate how Oregon's healthcare providers can cooperatively build a secure, I like that in their mm-hmm. system, to find and access patients' records across boundaries. And sort of what I wanted to ask you, and is it Gretchen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Feel free to jump in here also if you would like, is that how can we incentivize our, particularly our smaller clinics, because our big clinics, like the one that you work at, for example, is pretty good size, and there's probably more resources there than there is for a clinic, say the size of West Salem Family Practice Associates across the river that has got five docs in it and a couple of NPs, and So how do we incentivize them? Several years ago, actually, it wasn't really an incentive, but Medicare sort of incentivized all providers by making the software free to connect, but then sort of passing a rule that said that if you're going to get paid by us, you got to send in your stuff electronically. It was
right.
the billing process, not the medical records. But I would say that I guess that's an incentive, but that's sort of the stick incentive as opposed to a carrot incentive.
Mm-hmm.
How would you envision us being able to incentivize our smaller clinics so that they sort of say, we know it's a big investment to make, but we're willing to do it?
I think there's maybe several ways. I might mention two right off. One is that Medicare is playing a role now in some demonstration projects in what's called pay for performance or pay for quality, where they're trying to align financial incentives so that the people that or the practitioners that would really be rewarded were ones that were using information systems. some groups even out there have just done something called pay for play, meaning we'll just pay you a little more if you use electronic health records. And there's a couple of health plans in Oregon, in fact, that have done that. But as far as what the state could do, the state could do that through the Oregon Health Plan, through OMAP, I guess. And, you know, there are things like, this is not from the committee, but tax credits or that sort of thing to help incentivize that sort of thing.
Okay.
We're even resorting to peer pressure at this point.
Well, sometimes that's more helpful than anything else. I guess, you know, almost facetiously, though, with the Oregon Health Plan, for example, so what it would do is say, instead of only reimbursing you at 40%, we'll reimburse you at 47% if you use electronic records.
Either way,
as a provider, you're still losing your shorts.
Right. Yeah, it's very difficult. And, to exert pressure with something that a lot of providers are having difficulty maintaining, you know, access for patients.
Sure. Do you see sort of within this also the ability to use kind of a smart card type of technology? As a matter of fact, there is a bill in the works. The number is escaping me, but I know it well because I sponsored it, create kind of a health savings account type of system within the Oregon Health Plan, and taking a particular population and doing that, or telling the department actually to do it. And then, but the vision being kind of a smart card technology where when an OHP patient walks into your clinic, for example, your staff would swipe the card, you'd see that, number one, they have money available on their card to pay for the services, and number two, that would automatically set it up so that basically you would get reimbursed much quicker and at a higher rate and all kinds of other good things. Do you envision the ability of, you know, having a smart type of card that patient can carry so that if they're in an emergency situation, a clinic could swipe the card and up comes their name, their address, or phone number, person to contact in case of emergency, maybe there any allergies that they might have, a real brief medical history, like, you know, that appendectomy that you were talking about,
yeah,
in 1972,
yeah,
that hasn't changed, it still happened then, that sort of thing, you know, so major surgeries that they've maybe had, so it's kind of a real brief medical history, but it's something that the patient carries with them.
Vendors, and that technology is being developed. I think that there was a pilot of that in Florida a couple years ago, and while I think that could be a meaningful step forward, my personal experience as a physician has found that people often forget to bring things to their office visit, and then you're kind of at a loss. People have also been advocating for these thumb drives or the little USB drives that can hold a lot of information in a little tiny place. And that's, to me, similar to the card sort of technology, in that one of the only downsides, perhaps, is that you have to count on the person to have it with them at all times. You know, if they're rafting or if they're, you know, wherever. Ultimately, I believe that the record probably needs to exist in a virtual place. It needs to be accessible through the internet so that you really take the human factor out of it. Again, it would have to be secure. There is a concept of health record banks, much like a financial bank, that would be a trusted third party that would offer to store, you know, your data, or at least an index to your data, so that it doesn't matter if you're in, you know, Florida or in Oregon, you can get your records.
I wonder if you could implant a barcode in your forehead, and that would be the mechanism for...
That's also been discussed. There are tiny, tiny chips that can carry an enormous amount of information,
sure.
And that really is being... There are people out there getting chips implanted, much like you can have them implanted in your dog, I guess.
I always think of that ad for Washington Mutual, you know, as she's stapling the barcode to his forehead.
Well, I actually did have someone say to me, barcode me, do whatever you have to do, but I'm allergic to penicillin, and if I get it, I will stop breathing. So that concept is definitely out there.
And if somebody doesn't know that has taken them, or that, you know, this person has been found, and somebody's trying to do a rescue, and you see a big infection, and you start pumping penicillin into them, and they get worse. I guess you'd figure out that there's a problem, but it would sure
the
be nice
way
to know that ahead of time, wouldn't it? Another question, if I may, Mr.
Certainly.
You mentioned practice management software, and I know that it's really evolved, you know, from being, first of all, you know, sort of an accounts payable, accounts receivables type of system, to then being able to move into the scheduling side and some of the other sorts of things. Do you see some of the, and I think you mentioned that you're a consultant to one of the vendors, or?
I had been probably 5 years ago, and no long, I am not affiliated with any vendors whatsoever.
Right, well, anyway, and
I have some knowledge of how
that was my
are.
Point.
Yeah, okay.
You have some knowledge of
yeah.
It's not that you're making anything out of this thing, which I'm a free enterprise person, so I think it's okay. But anyway. Do you sort of see practice management software moving in a direction where it's going to sort of become all-inclusive so that, you know, going back again to into my example of the small clinic across the river, where when they buy their next upgrade of, I know they used to use medical manager. So when they buy their next upgrade of medical manager, there's going to be an electronic records component to that has the ability then for the doctor to go into the office and put in a bunch of stuff, call up a patient's record. It's right there, irrespective of what room he's in. Maybe it's even on a wireless handheld, which wireless can be dangerous. But anyway, wireless handheld sort of thing, whatever. But anyway, the information is right there, so that then when he or she are done visiting with the patient, they do a couple of checks on the handheld or on their computer there, and you know, it spits out to the front office the you know, everything from the ICD-9 codes to the CPT codes and everything that was done, and then also stores over in their system, you know, what the doctor did and what they saw and what they prescribed and all of that kind of stuff.
There are a number of practice management vendors that now have an electronic health record component to it, and they really vary in their degree of interface between the two, even if they sometimes have the same company.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how well how long they've been together, I guess, if you want to put it that way. There is always kind of a distinction between the practice management element and the electronic health record element. Although, I will say that a lot of the practice management systems have tried to start to encompass some of the EHR functionality so that clinics that can't afford the EHR component at least can do some sort of limited reporting and that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, I think it would
be. But I don't think the practice management system is ultimately going to be the full-fledged answer for really, you know, good quality reports. And I just want to bring this part up. One of the most important elements of an electronic health record is not just keeping track of the information, but that insertion of medical knowledge, of that what we call clinical decision support. That's one of the things that's going to revolutionize medicine, because you just can't remember all this stuff. You can't remember every detail of every disease for every patient every day. Those days are long gone.
Come on, you're doctors. You're supposed to remember all that stuff.
I'm here to break the silence.
Oh, all right.
I don't know everything.
I want to go back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
This subcommittee is very interested in the Oregon Health Plan. And what I've heard you say is Senate Bill 451 will put a committee in place and get us some staff to start kicking things off. I'm looking at the Oregon Health Plan, single focus. I'm not sure what type of personality that is, but I'm the model for it. And you've talked about incentives. Now, we just passed some legislation that's trying to incent physicians to rural areas. So we'll have some notion of how an incentive works, but that might be a possibility. You're talking about a pilot program, and would that come out of this healthcare committee you're putting together, the pilot program, the application for that sort of thing?
The way, and I'll ask Gretchen to jump in at any point if she wants to, but the way I see this sort of playing out and the way it's been in other parts of the country too has been sort of this public-private collaborative model where, the state works with the private sector to accomplish this. And I see this pilot kind of evolving in that way. The Oregon Healthcare Quality Corporation has been working to align people to start talking about, in essence, breaking down the barriers between some of the health systems so that you can share data across systems.
I would be most interested in that. I'm most interested in what this committee might do to pick up the pace. I feel a sense of urgency for, as I said earlier, either increasing the number of people served or increasing the quality of service to those people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little disappointed. The earliest I heard you say is 3 years, maybe four. If there's anything that this subcommittee can do, and I will speak for Representative Cromwell, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Thank you. We didn't go quite where I thought we would today. Is there any more that you have to tell us?
Well, I might speak to your point because I think about, in healthcare, what issues are of paramount importance, and I do think access is at the top, and I think here I am promoting health information technology, and maybe I should be putting my energy towards access, but I reconcile it in this way, in that we could first start to really focus on the uninsured or the underinsured to help them get the best care through this. I talked about how health information technology can help provide that continuity of care. These are the people that need it absolutely the most. They might get one service at Providence and one at OHSU and one at Multnomah County, and that continuity is not maintained. And that's where bad things happen, when things fall through the crack and you didn't see the lesion on the chest X-ray and no one ever followed up on it. And we see that kind of stuff a lot. So if we would like to focus our pilot efforts specifically on the less fortunate Oregonians. Does that help bridge that? I mean, that's kind of...
One of the things that this committee is following closely to make money available for technology, a coherent, cohesive technology plan, is plowing the savings back into the system to begin with. And if we could come up with a way that perhaps in order to expand service or to increase the number of people protected by the Oregon Health Plan, we would have to take that first saving. But I want to leave you with the model that this committee has developed, or the legislature, or DAS, whoever has done it. But that might be a way that we could pick up the pace for this project, is to invest those savings first time through into expanding the program. Again, I will say I do feel a sense of urgency for the underinsured and the uninsured. I really didn't get much of a list of things to do, but if you come up with a list of things to do, we will do them. Do we have any more? Anywhere else that we should go, or any other ground that we should cover?
I have one other question, Mr. Chair, if I may.
Certainly,
reflecting back on the State of Oregon Action Plan, I'm kind of interested in this, because I think this committee of professionals has sort of taken an effort to involve the state, and in some respects, this is going to happen with us or without us.
Yes,
it will happen. The thing is that makes it a plus if it happens with us, is that we're on the train early. But the other thing that I think is real helpful is that the standards that get set with some input from somebody at the state level, so that it's not something that is just sort of these are the standards that have, that we've decided that we want to use or don't want to use or whatever the case may be, and we can really direct that more towards the national standards as opposed to, you know, saying, you know, Oregon is different and we need to do things our own way, which is a crock. But anyway, on number three, going back to the action plan, Dr. Pettit, or Gretchen, either one, it says use Oregon's purchasing power through PEB and OMAP to encourage adoption of electronic health record and health information exchange. And I can, and I sort of talked a little bit about the OMAP side and with the Oregon Health Plan and how I, at least how I can sort of envision it, you know, in my simple brain. But with the, with PEB, would that be something where we would be encouraging our insurance carriers to only contract with physicians or with providers, for example, that utilize electronic medical records? And then sort of the follow-up question to that is that really a, is that a carrot approach or is that sort of like a stick, a stick incentive?
That's debatable.
Yeah, I can comment on that.
Go ahead.
Representative Vella, Representative Crummell, have you had a chance to have a conversation with Gene Thorne about the most recent PEB RFP process that's going on? It might be an interesting discussion for you to have. I'm not sure exactly whether or not there were electronic health records aspects of it, but we just had Gene at the Health Policy Commission meeting last week, and what they build into the actual RFP process and scoring process were quite a few more quality measures, looking for plans that would be investing in activities that would improve the quality of care and then using that in the ranking process for selecting the plans for PEB. So it's an interesting model for you to potentially explore.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more, Doctor?
I do want to thank you for your interest and your enthusiasm in this area, and that I do believe that this is an issue that affects every one of us and our loved ones, you know, and our economy. I mean, healthcare really is, I mean, as you know, becoming an issue that's affecting every sector. And that while the monetary gains, I feel, are absolutely there, it does take some faith to move in that direction to streamline our system as soon as we possibly can.
I will offer this committee again. In fact, we'll meet next Saturday and implement any motion you come up with.
Thank you.
We have one question from our administrator. Dallas?
Yeah. The action plan, do you have any sense that legislation is being drafted or will be introduced to implement this?
Yes, thank you for mentioning that. We are working on this Senate Bill 541. We met with Senator Morse earlier this week, and there will likely be continued modification of this bill.
So we can expect maybe to see Senate Bill 541 as the vehicle to carry out the action plan.
Yes.
Thank you. Just want to know what to look out for when it gets
thank
here.
Thank you.
I think this is a thank you very much for your time today, your explanation. We do have enthusiasm, and we want to help. Thank you very much. And with that, I have just a few announcements. One, we're going to, on April 7th, to Fossil, Oregon. By popular demand, several of you asked if I could arrange something to Fossil, so I have.
Really?
April 7th.
Yes, we are. We are really going to Fossil.
Great.
See, look at the enthusiasm. This is an enthusiastic committee. It'll be April 7th, and here's what we have so far. Representative Witt asked, he's taking his car out, if I might find some place for him to go fishing. I talked to the people in Fossil today. If you want to stay for the weekend, they will take you fishing.
And dig for fossils.
You want to dig for fossils?
Yeah.
We'll dig for fossils.
Oh, you're my favorite.
The business of the day, and I will go over the schedule briefly. We'll leave here at 7:30
a.m.
A.m. And Lana said she'll get this schedule to you, and this is a rough draft, so that, and I'm giving it to you so that if there's something that you would like modified, it says draft at the top.
And we've got the members excused for that day.
And Dallas is taken care of. You're all excused for that day. We'll leave at 7:30. We'll get to Fossil at lunch. They're catering a lunch for us. 1 p.m., we'll call our meeting to order. We're going to hear from local safety people. They have some high school kids that serve as first responders and with the fire department, and they're very impressive people. They'll tell us about technology and safety needs in Wheeler County, and then Ken Murphy and I'm Dallas Mount will talk to us from the Department of Emergency Management and some others. The telephone companies are there. They're going to talk to us. We should be adjourning by 3, leave for Salem, come back home unless you want to make arrangements to stay and go fishing. Or and Representative Witt was very interested in that. There are many, 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 many things to do in Fossil. There are some things you can, well, you can go fishing in Fossil. But anyway, if you'd like to do that, let me know. We'll be back here. We'll stop, and the quickest way is up and around. We'll stop in the Dallas for dinner at 5, and we won't be back here until 8:30 that night if you ride back with us. It's a long ways to go, but that's where we're going with our committee.
Is that a Friday?
That's a Thursday.
Okay.
And we'll have an agenda out probably by Tuesday. I think everybody's working on that.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Thank you for the heads up.
What if our other committee's going on that same day?
Have they offered you fishing in Fossil?
They have, and at Coos Bay or Fossil? No question.
Everybody's been to Coos Bay.
You know, you go to Fossil, you may just find the new tourist area of the state.
Well, I've always wanted to go there because it's just so, you know.
It's beautiful.
It's got all the, you know,
geographic. It's beautiful to go out there. Yeah. Come to my district, you'll like it.
Is that where you know?
I represent House District 59.
Imagine that's where I was going to Fossil.
Is it starting to dawn on you why maybe we're going
to Fossil? I didn't know you went over that far.
Yeah, it's, I think we might be, we had a hearing the other day in Pendleton. On meth. And so,
yeah, so did we, the Judiciary Committee. What were you guys?
What's that?
What was your committee?
I didn't go. That's Burley.
That was us. That was the Judiciary.
No, I didn't go. But
are we going to talk about meth here?
No, we're going to talk about. We had several groups in here.
The phone thing will be interesting.
We had the phone companies in here. We had the safety people in here. We had GIS in here. We had emergency services in here. And all of those things. Wheeler County is bereft of all of that service, and we want to see if there's something we can do. In fact, we had two more accidents in Wheeler County, and in one we lost a man. He bled to death. There was just no way to get a hold of anybody that could help him.
So how far are we, where is Fossil compared to Pendleton?
South. Actually, both of them are in Oregon, and that's about the only correlation there.
I had my telephone over there, and I was calling constantly to try and make sure that it, because I know you said you had no service, and it worked the whole time from Pendleton.
We're coming down the Dallas, the goal, the words,
no,
yeah.
It didn't work.
This is south of there, about 80 miles.
Huh.
Straight south of Arlington.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, that's so interesting.
Good. We'll have fun. We'll enjoy. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, here you are.
Sorry,
there's
I
the
had
road
this. Well, I'm sorry about this meeting. I had it canceled on my calendar. Hence the reason I fired my LA.
Just a minute, you have
Mr. Chair. Just out of curiosity, could if this isn't anything that really needs to be on the record, could we adjourn so that she can extinguish the record and you guys can have a conversation?
This committee stands adjourned,
and then I can.
You can go. Okay.
Gotta go check on Dawn. Make sure she's in her cubicle.
I'm sure.
Anyway, you're.